CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Because I'm gloomy all the time, Evan, I've got a good piece of news that I wanted to preview for your entertainment. Colombia hits conservation goal. This is Science News reporting. Colombia is the first Western Hemisphere country to achieve the widely adopted 30x30 ocean conservation goal, according to President Duque, the outgoing president. More than 100 countries have signed the pledge to protect 30% of both Earth's ocean area and land area by 2030. To reach that proportion of protected ocean area in Colombia 8 years before the deadline, President Duque designated 3 new marine protected areas and expanded the existing sanctuary in the eastern Pacific Ocean to include a 1,400-kilometer underwater ridge that acts as a highway for sharks and other marine life. Duque has also announced a $245 million initiative that aims to protect 32 million hectares of Colombia land and ocean. Now, a highway for sharks is an unusual presentation, but it certainly is good news. So I emphasize there is reason to celebrate Colombia, and Gustavo Petro is inheriting this good news. At the same time, there are a lot of complications understanding Mr. Petro. He was an M19 guerrilla in his youth. There is news of the death of another guerrilla terrorist most recently, and I need to understand the relationship here. His name was Ivan Mordisco. He was a FARC dissident. The death of one of the last remaining leaders of ex-FARC mafia leaves one of Colombia's major criminal structures without any clear unifying force and may signal the disintegration of the dissidents in Colombia. It gets very confusing now because there's FARC mafia, there's FARC, there's ELN. Do these groups, do these people, do they all know each other? Do they circulate? Are they at war with each other? How to regard this death of Mordisco at the same time that Petro rises to the palace?
Well, you bring up a couple of very important and interesting issues, John. Number one is with respect to the maritime protected areas in off the coast of Colombia, off of the coast of Chile, and a number of different places. Characteristics of these areas, it either promotes or supports a diversity of life. The idea of designating as a protected area is to keep fishing out. And the irony is that this is only one example of many relatively good things that in terms of management of the oil sector, in terms of management of the economy, in terms of security issues, that really the Ivan Duque government, in my opinion, did very well. And so one of the great ironies is that he goes out with such low approval ratings, given the very difficult challenges that he had. Now, it'll be interesting to see the ability of Colombia and others with respect facing IUU fishing by the Chinese deepwater fleet and others to actually effectively protect those areas. But certainly it is a move for conservationists in the right direction. Now, with respect to the criminal situation, things have increasingly gotten complicated. The amount of cocaine money, for example, going through the Colombian economy has absolutely taken off. A new report that just came out from the U.S. Office of National Drug Control Policy suggests that Colombia is still producing almost a thousand million, 972 metric tons of cocaine last year, for example, which is about the same as it was previously, with an estimate of something like 234,000 hectares under cultivation. So that's a lot of illicit money going into the economy. And certainly with the problem in Venezuela, where you have the FARC dissident groups, you have the ELN, what remains of them, you have different other armed organized groups who are able to profit from refuge in the Venezuela-Colombia border region, and indeed even recruiting desperate Venezuelans as part of their arsenals. So there's just a labyrinth of different criminal difficulties. Having said that, I also had the honor of working with some of our Colombian counterparts. Their military and security services and intelligence services are actually pretty good. And it's difficult to know who is responsible for what, but there have been actually a total of 7 top commanders of the FARC dissidents and others who have been eliminated since last year. Now, again, some of those may have been eliminated by each other. Some of them may be, have been eliminated by Venezuelans. It's difficult to know. But as you pointed out, one of the biggest hits was against Gentil Duarte, who had been kind of the leader of the umbrella movement of the FARC dissidents. And then, of course, this latest elimination of Ivan Mordisco, although he was not quite as capable, but he'd kind of taken over the leadership of the first and seventh FARC dissident group. And so this is likely to accelerate the disintegration of some of the different groupings that were the remnants of the FARC's dissidents. But then again, you have a whole range of others. So, to mention Ivan Marquez, who is the old formal FARC leader who returned in something that was called the Segunda Marquetalia, who was gravely wounded and who is now in a hospital in Caracas. So so the Colombians and others, there's a lot going on in terms of the shakeup of the security situation. And that will that certainly will create an interesting legacy when Gustavo Petro comes in to start up. And it will at least create some space for him to have a positive security policy and make decisions, for example, whether or not he wants to have a positive relationship with Venezuela or whether or not, for example, he wants to start peace talks with the other major rebel group, the ELN, which he has indicated that he wishes to do.
The death of a terrorist and a shark highway from Colombia. We're headed to Mexico with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.